Hey, dreamers, this is Lou Mangiello from WDW Radio. Keep on dreaming with the Dreamers Podcast.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I'm talking with Dave Kuda, who is making his dreams come true by DJing and being the host of the Journey of Ambition podcast. Glad to have you on the show, Dave.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, not a problem. I'm glad that I'm able to have you on. You just had me on your show a little while back, and it was a really great experience. In fact, I think that it was the best interview I've given to date, and I think everyone should go check it out. What website can they go check that out at?
They can check that out at thejourneyofambition.com or just journeyofambition.com.
Oh, you registered both?
Yeah. Yeah, I have both of them.
Good idea.
People that don't want to type in the T-H-E in the beginning.
Which one's actually the real address?
The full one, the journeyofambition.com.
Yeah, I have dreamerspodcast.com, and I had that real hard decision to make when I came up with the idea of like howtodream.com and ended up being howtodream.co. And I was like, well, do I go with howtodream.co or do I go with Dreamers Podcast and have the other one forward to it? And I thought, I think one's a little bit more marketable than the other. And I ended up going with the howtodream.co because I thought that, even if Dreamers Podcast lapses at some point, the idea of that website could still be something that I'm very passionate about regardless.
Exactly. That makes sense. Same thing with the podcast that I have, The Journey of Ambition. And it can, if the podcast doesn't go further, I can turn it to a video series or just, have a blog or whatever and still can say the same stuff without it being a podcast. So on
today's show, we're going to talk about a topic that's pretty near and dear to my heart. And after talking with Dave about it, I think he's got a lot to say on the topic as well, which is how to deal with positive and negative criticism from people you know. This isn't just random people spouting off things that just sounds, stupid. This is from people that actually know you, like family members and friends. But before we get to that, I want to talk about your background, Dave.
Well, my background, I'm born and raised Southern California and partially in Michigan, but for the most part, Southern California. And at a young age, I grew up in near Hollywood in L.A. And my mother had me in acting classes and modeling and stuff. And I guess I was a little too shy to handle it and to keep up with it. So I stopped for a while until I got into high school, and my mom wanted me to not be around the influence of negative influences of gangs and things like that. So she put me back into acting. So after school, I would go on a lot of auditions and acting jobs and stuff. So I did commercials and movies, all that stuff. And I ended up going to college and dropping the acting because, my family's big on education and my grandmother's a teacher for 30 years and they wanted me to go to school. So I ended up kind of stopping the acting and going to school full time. So, and then college, I started becoming interested in DJing, and that led to a DJ career.
It's funny how DJing comes along. Was that something new for you at the time, or were you already fascinated with the idea of DJing like I was at a young age?
I had never thought about DJing. I was always big into music, though. My family has a bit of a musical background. And so I was always, listening to all types of music growing up and just had an extensive knowledge of a lot of music and different music genres. So once I did start DJing in college, it came a little bit easy to me because I just had that knowledge of music in general and how it flowed and the beat matching and all that stuff just kind of came a little bit easy for me as opposed to trying to have to spend that time learning all of that like most DJs do when they start. it was an easy transition. I didn't start learning until college, though, or doing it until college, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, for most people, that is a very difficult thing, especially beat matching. And unfortunately, nowadays, you don't have to know any of that. The software can do it for you for the most part, which in some cases allows, you know, for more creativity, depending on how you're doing your DJing. But at the base of it, you really should know at least how to beat match, even if you can't do it all that well most of the time.
Yeah, I typically use, I use the same program, Serato, that most DJs use right now, but I'm from the old school. I started when there was just, you know, turntables and actual vinyl records, so I still DJ by ear and beat match by ear instead of looking at the actual computer screen and using that to match my beats or making the software do it, you know, so I still do it the old school way.
It's funny you mention that, because the screen really, it can be a crutch, but at the same time, depending on what you're trying to mix, can really help save a night.
yeah, definitely. I mean, I've had nights where, you know, my needle stops or working, or, you know, and you have to kind of use the software to save your butt. But yeah, for the most part, I do it manually and do everything manually. But yeah, it is a lifesaver sometimes.
So before we get into our topic for the day, what's been the biggest roadblock you've hit along your DJing and podcasting career, and how have you gone about overcoming it?
A lot of times it's just money that I may not have had at the time, and trying to, you want to accomplish a goal, and there's certain things you need, certain tools and equipment and things like that. And I was just able to, you know, just a lot of times just use what I had, and that helped me to become more creative at what I was doing. And so that was how I was kind of able to overcome or even get even better my craft, is because I was able, and also stand out, is because I was doing things in a way that other people weren't doing, that maybe had the money to go buy the best equipment or something, and it might look good right off the bat, but it doesn't sound good. I'm talking about the DJing here, but I've been actually lucky to not have too many roadblocks and too many in my DJ career. I haven't had a whole lot of things that have stopped me from doing what I want to do. But in the beginning, that, of course, you know, just, there's always the beginning struggle of trying to start out and get it going. So that was the main problem I had in the beginning.
Yeah, getting started with DJing is definitely difficult, especially now where everybody is a DJ or wants to be a DJ, and, you know, equipment is that much cheaper and it's that much more accessible, which has its positives and its negatives depending on how you look at it. But it's come a long way from just two turntables and a mixer.
Yeah, it definitely has. I mean, you have programs on your iPhone now that you can use to DJ now, pretty much. And a lot of times people, friends of mine or something, they'll say, oh, hey, I'm having this type of party or something, and can you come DJ? I'm like, well, do you really need me to DJ? Are a bunch of people going to be dancing at your party? Or, you know, if they're just going to be hanging out, you could play SoundCloud, play something on Spotify, play, you know, there's certain programs and software and apps,
Mixify,
and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, Mixify. There's all kinds of stuff that you can just play in the background, and you don't necessarily need me. And, you know, it would be easy money for me if I did that. But sometimes it's like, I don't really worry about putting you through the trouble of that when you can just do something a lot easier.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many parties I went to and it's like nobody danced. It was just like, I'm just like, why am I here? And especially if I wasn't even making any money at it at the time.
Yeah. They just want a DJ now just for whatever occasion. Even if people are dancing or not.
So let's get into today's topic about how to deal with positive and negative criticism from people you know.
Okay.
When you were getting into DJing, was there anybody that was like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And, you know, especially once you started, like, okay, this is going to be my full-time job.
When I first started, I remember telling my mom that I worked at a bank at the time, Wells Fargo. I remember one year when I did my taxes and I was like, I'm going to spend my tax return money and buy all this DJ equipment. I was on the phone with my mom about it, and she's like, well, are you sure you want to do that? And, you know, you should save up your money and, you know, for a rainy day or something. And I was like, well, I'm deciding I want to do this, and, and it's something that I think I'm going to enjoy and be able to make my money back in return, you know, pretty quickly. And so she was like, oh, okay, you know, go ahead and do it. And I did. And, you know, she was supportive of me, you know, as well. But at first she was still kind of hesitant about me doing it. And then it became a supportive thing after she saw that how driven I was and how, you know, determined I was to make it happen.
So, I mean, have they actually, say, listened to any of your mixes or come out to any of your events?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All the time. Yeah. They actually, my mother, aunt, and grandmother just came to one of my gigs this past Saturday night. So, yeah, they come often and support when they can. They listen to my mixes and stuff, and they're always asking about my DJing. Now it's a little bit more. I've been doing it now for a living for the past maybe 8 years now. So they're a little bit more used to it now than in the beginning. So, but yeah, they're very supportive for right now.
Now, how did you go about dealing with the negative feedback that you probably got from other members of your family, like your grandmother who was a teacher that was like, no, what are you doing? You need a job. You need a pension. You need to fill in
right.
the blank.
They wouldn't harp on me too much about it. They were just kind of, I think it was more so like, oh, well, he'll let him just do that and it'll only last for about 6 months or something. Then he'll go back to, you know, doing the regular job thing, regular 9-to-5 thing. And then it started just, you know, it kept going on and on and on. And then it got to the point where I was able to do it full time. I think in the back of their minds, they still kind of want me to have that regular job and that safe job, but they don't say too much to me anymore about it. They just kind of stay supportive and happy with what I'm doing just because I'm happy. But in the beginning, I was able to handle them, I guess, the negative comments and stuff. I was able to just kind of, it goes through one ear and out the other. I wouldn't really like pay too much attention to it when people, because I've had friends even, I remember one day I got laid off of a job that I did have, a regular job I did have, and a buddy of mine was like, I was telling him I was losing my job, and he got scared for me, and he was like, oh, well, let me hook you up with my job. I can get you this job here, or I have a friend here that can get you this job. And I'm like, no, don't worry about it, dude. I'll be okay. I have a little bit of savings for, you know, for a while, and, you know, I'm just going to try to do the DJ thing full time and see how that, where that takes me and how it goes. And so I just kind of brush it off, like Jay-Z says, brush your shoulders off, and you just, you know, just brush off those negative comments, and you just kind of have to just let it just go by, you know, like just like you have to. It's almost like you have a shield, and it just bounces off of you. You don't even pay attention to it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're really focused and you really believe in what you're doing, and not only that, but you're making and showing progress to other people about what you're capable of accomplishing. You know, just because you got started, just because you tried, whereas a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I could do that if I wanted to, but you know, I don't really want to spend the time on that, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but at the same time, it's like, you know, why are you looking down on somebody else for what they're doing and what they're accomplishing? You know, if you wanted it that bad, you could go out and get it and start, but you got to start today. Don't wait 10 years and be like, man, if I had just started 10 years ago, think about where I'd be now.
Exactly. And a lot of people, they try to bring you down just because they're in that regular job and regular 9-to-5 or in some job that they're unhappy with. And when they see you trying to, when you make a decision to pursue a certain goal or dream, and that's something that they would never do. Everyone has goals and dreams, but most people don't go out to pursue them, or they don't even make the decision to say, hey, okay, this is the day I'm going to start pursuing this. And then when they see you do it, they want to bring you back down to their level to not do that and not pursue it. They want you to be just like them. So I suggest, you know, hanging around people that are doing what they like to do and what they want to do. So when you're hanging around them, they're going to be supportive of you because they've done it and they see you doing it and wanting to pursue your dream. So be around more positive people, and that makes it even easier to pursue your goals and dreams.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back into the whole, you know, you are the average of your five closest friends, and not that you have to get rid of your five closest friends, but you know, you have to be willing to expand who you're friends with. And, you know, once you see that there's other people out there that are willing to chase after their dreams and, you know, do things that are outside the box and outside the 9-to-5 norm, you're bound to grow with them and grow closer to those people. But I would think that it's really important for you to step back and think like, okay, this is what I'm good at. This is what I enjoy doing. And the people that are trying to pull me down because I'm not them. You know, there's a quote by Kanye West about dreamers and haters and how the only difference, you know, haters gave up on all their dreams.
Yeah, I love Kanye.
Yeah, I do too. And a lot of people don't understand that. They don't get it. And that's okay. They don't have to get it.
Well, it goes back to Kanye's a dreamer. He's always been dreaming. If you listen to a lot of his older stuff or just even a lot of his older quotes before he became the Kanye West that we know today, he was always talking about what he is going to accomplish and how he feels that he's so good at what he's doing or how great he will be. And he kept that positive mindset the whole time, even before, you know, even when he was struggling. And that's just what you have to do. You know, he put himself around the right people. He got himself, he talks about, I think there's a song on his first album called Last Call.
It's like an
8-minute long song. And he talks about his whole story in the beginning and how he was in Chicago and producing for local acts and things like that. But he was around a lot of people that were, you know, telling him he couldn't do it and telling him all of these things he didn't want to hear. Or even there's even a song on, I think it's his second album, and one of his lines is any pessimist, I don't talk to them, or something like that. You know? And,
Yeah,
you blocked that out.
What's the name of that?
It's called Touch the Sky.
Yeah, Touch the Sky. Yep.
Yeah, and yeah, it's just like, yeah, he is a dreamer, and all of us dreamers, we kind of have the same thought process and we're very like-minded. We understand each other. So if you hang around other dreamers, I feel that you're going to have more success in what you're doing because you're able to block out stuff easier. You're not hearing these negative comments as much. And the more and more I started hanging around people that are doing cool stuff in their lives and living their passion and dreams, the more I was like, oh, hey, I can do that too. And they're not talking down to me. They're supportive. They're saying, this is awesome what you're doing. I want to be part of it, or I want to help you out do this. And it's awesome. It's just because, you know, you just don't have that negativity in your life.
You know, it can be very difficult to deal with, you know, family members and friends that have negative things to say, and sometimes even positive things to say, because, you know, I know myself, I get sometimes like a complex about like, are they just saying that because they know me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to think like that, but then, you know, sometimes it's easier to take a compliment from a complete stranger that has zero to gain from it than, you know, somebody who's just trying to be nice because you know them.
Right. I agree. I mean, a lot of times, yeah, you have friends and family that are, I'll put a DJ mix out or something and they'll be like, oh yeah, it was great. It sounded great. And then, but yeah, you feel that they're just telling you that to be nice because they love you and stuff and they're your friend or they're your family. But so, yeah, sometimes a complete stranger will come to me after a DJ set and, oh man, that was great. I had a great night and thanks for the music. I had so much fun. And that feels so much better because, yeah, they don't know you. They don't have to tell you that. They don't. So it's that's when you know you're doing a good job and you're on the right path.
So here let's turn the tables here. You're that family member. I'm that family member. And one of our cousins are coming up to us and saying, you know, what do you think of X that I'm doing? How do we turn that around and not sound like, you know, give ourselves that or give them the same complex that we have?
Well, I'm a person that I like to say that I keep it real, keep it very real with people. So I tend to tell people exactly what I'm thinking. If something's good, I will let them know that. If something's bad, I will let them know that too. So I'm not always not everybody likes me because of that. because if I tell them something they don't want to hear, but I'll tell them, and then sometimes they'll come back and they'll say, "Hey, I'm so glad you told me that because it woke me up and let me know like what I'm doing wrong or what I could have done better and all of that stuff." So I like to get constructive criticism as well for whatever I'm doing when pursuing, just because, yeah, you don't want to be around, they call it like yes men or yes people that are around that are going to tell you all the time of how good you are at something or how good whatever it is you're doing, because sometimes it might not be that good and you want to know how to get better, and you're not going to get better unless you know what to fix, because we're not always perfect at what we're doing and we're not going to always be good. So yeah, I like to tell people, you know, just exactly what I'm thinking, whether good or bad.
Well, it's like one big game, right? So, you know, you're not going to get any better if you keep playing the same game with people who aren't as good as you. You're only going to get better if you play against people who are better than you, and, you know, you have a higher percentage of chance of losing.
Exactly. It's like if you play guitar, you're just starting and you're not as good. Obviously, and if you're playing with like Prince or something, he's going to see you and say, "Oh, hey, do it this way or try this or that." He might not talk down to you and say that you suck, but he's going to say, "No, that's not as good. But, you know, if you do it this way, it'll be better and it'll sound better." So you just kind of you can't really let sometimes people's comments get you down or take it as a negative. Sometimes they'll tell you something that you don't want to hear. If you want to hear that what you're doing sounds awesome or that is great and looks great, you might, if the person's telling you, you know, how to do better, take that and get better.
So, Dave, what do your dreams for the future look like?
I just embarked on this new journey of podcasting right now. It's called The Journey of Ambition, and it's about people having the ambition and passion, living their passion and having the ambition to pursue their goals. And mostly for creatives like myself, I'm in the DJ world and I'm friends with all kinds of creatives, photographers and musicians and artists and actors, directors and filmmakers. So it's sometimes tough for us because we don't always have the support. We don't always have the money. It's easy to make excuses for ourselves, but we have to keep pursuing it and keep taking another stab at things. So I started this show for myself to interview and have conversations with different people that are on that same journey, but maybe in just in different fields and different areas. So my goal is just to help out as many other people that I can in the creative realm or just in whatever realm that maybe working a regular job like I was a few years ago and just stuck and hate their job and they want to pursue their passion, but they just don't know how to go about it. So, you know, in the next few years, however that I, if it's through the show or through other ventures, I'm going to start from the show. I just want to help people out and get them to realize what their passion is and how to live that passion and live that dream.
No, I love the concept of the show, and that's why one of the reasons I wanted to be on the show, that and you mentioned DJs in the in the description.
Yeah.
Which obviously really spoke with me, so thank you DJing. Again for that, Dave.
Oh, no, thank you.
Is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
Well, hey, everybody just needs to, like I said, just keep on dreaming and don't give up. Just keep going toward your goals and on the way of your path. If you can spend at least an hour a day or 5 minutes a day or whatever, however long it is, just keep going toward your goal. I learned this trick from Jerry Seinfeld. I get a calendar, and when I want to accomplish a goal, I get this calendar out, put it in front of on my wall in front of me where I'll see it every day, and I'll take a red marker. I'll say, okay, so I'm going to get this thing, one thing done, and I'm going to work on that until I get it done. So every day I'll put a little bit toward that goal, and I'll put a mark an X off on that day when I do a little bit toward that goal. So for instance, let's say I want to be a chef or something. So I'm going to research how to be a chef. I'll spend the next 30 days researching everything that I can about that. And I mark every day off that I get a little bit done toward that goal. And then next thing you know, I have 30 days that I've researched this thing and studied it and learned about it, talked to people. After 30 days, I feel that I'm maybe not an expert, but I feel very comfortable in knowing that. And I looked at that and saying, hey, that's a goal that I accomplished, and I'm this much more farther along than I was a month ago.
Leave it to Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, he's one of my, I don't want to say idol, but he's one of the people that I've looked up to in my creative journey.
Yeah, well, that's a good person to look up to for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So I would love for you to plug your website and, well, websites again, and how people can connect with you.
Yeah, the website is thejourneyofambition.com, or if you would like to leave the out, just journeyofambition.com, or tweet me on at Cuda's Journey, CUDAS Journey. So yeah, they can contact me either of those. And I also have a Facebook group that I started. So journeyofambition.com/group is where they can join the group on there. And we talk about the same things I just talked about now on the show, about how to live your passion and or even find your passion if you haven't found it yet. So yeah, come join us on the group. We talk about a bunch of stuff, and then it'll send you links to the show and you can listen to that. So yeah, love to have you there.
Awesome. I will have them in the show notes at howtodream.co.
Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Dave. And I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. And I would love to have you on again in about a year or so. And we'll follow up on how you've been and how your podcast journey has been.
Definitely. I look forward to it. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.